We're Andy and Dylan from Landlords, and we're going to talk about our new record, Coding, and happy to be on BFM talking about it.
Congrats on the release of Coding. For those that don't know Landlords, are you able to give me a breakdown of who does what in the band and how'd you all meet?
Myself, I play guitar and sing. Dylan plays drums. And we've got Patrick who plays guitar and Simon who plays bass. We all were playing in like hardcore and metal bands through the 2010s, and I guess to change it up, we were listening to post-punk, shoegaze, a bit more spacier type music, and through a mutual friend we decided to sort of start a little project dabbling in it, and myself and Dylan sort of took it from there. Our friend Dustin, he moved to Melbourne, and so we recruited Patrick and together a bunch of tracks that sort of experimenting in the sound, and we released that EP through our local distro here in Hamilton, RVC. Yeah. That sort of brings us up to date once we recorded this record.
How does it feel looking back on your first EP now that it's been out for a few years? And were there any takeaways from making that first one that stood out to you when you were going into your second EP?
The way we've sort of done things with the way this band sort of worked is we played those songs to death, and then the record came out and we're completely sick of them and stopped playing them basically around the time we released that album. But we're proud of that release. But looking back on it, it was not as focused as what we've produced for this new one. It was a lot faster and had sort of those post-hardcore sensibilities to it. But this new record is far more in line with what we're into. We recorded with the same engineer, Adam Filton, and he actually is like a fifth member of our band. He really helped with, you know, pushing us in the right direction sonically, I guess, in the recording things. The main takeaway was just making sure that we had the songs as we wanted them, rather than sort of winging it in the studio. So yeah, I think we had a pretty clear idea of how we wanted these to sound.
So you all came from metal bands. What drew you to wanting to move into a shoegaze style?
I guess all of us are kind of big fans of that kind of mid-2010 sound that a lot of, I guess we were the same, a lot of hardcore players seem to merge with the like heavier shoegaze kind of sound. Bands like Whir and bands like Nothing that kind of came to rise in that kind of 2014, 2015 kind of era. And that sound is pretty much like all throughout the record and pretty much just our go-to of what we listen to in our own spare time and like really what, yeah, the band's kind of about.
How do you think the dynamic of the group has changed since you started, and how does the writing process shape for you now?
It's pretty classic kind of DIY approach where, I don't know, someone will have a riff or two, bring it to the practice space, and then slowly just taking that and seeing, I don't know, what we can do with it, where we can go with it, how do we lead into that riff, or like what comes after it, or that kind of thing. Well, that, I guess that's the approach now, but early days we had, not here today, Patrick writing a lot of songs just in Logic, like complete start to finish. He'd program all the drums, program everything in, write all the parts, and that would be like a completed song which we would then flesh out and adjust, but not so much now, more just actually coming up with them together on the fly.
How did you get looped in with Church Road Records over in the UK?
I played in a band called Wakan Corridor with this guy, Alex, who was from the UK, and he was over for a year, and we started a band pretty much for this guy, Alex. So he got in touch with RVC, got in touch with Adam, and we pretty much formed the band to have its lifespan while this guy was here. Like, it really didn't continue on after that. And Alex actually turns out to be really good friends with Justine and Sammy at Church Road, and they were putting out a lot of actually our favourite records, and have like some of our favourite bands now on there, like Outlander and Grevo and these kinds of things. Yeah, so I was talking to Alex about the record, just being a mate, and he sent it to Justine and Sammy to check out, who said that they were full and booked, but they really liked the records, so they made a slot for us.
Let's get into the tracks now. How'd you pick out Perfect Life to open the EP?
Yeah, there was a bit of debate around what should be, you know, what the track listing should be, and there's only five songs, but Perfect Life, out of all five of those songs, clearly has the most energy. It's sort of got this like driving, upbeat rhythm to it, which sort of carries through, and I feel that it was, you know, the most impactful opener for the record, and sort of gives way to what's to come. Yeah, Perfect Life was just an energetic one to kick it off with. I wrote this in the first 2020 lockdown. Lyrically, there's not really a story to it. It's like most of the songs I write, they're pretty melodramatic and sort of sad sounding. I'm not a sad guy, but I feel as if it's better out than in. So the main themes for Haunt, it's uses like imagery of like a haunted house as a metaphor for like a mind full of like repressed memories or unwanted memories, and it sort of just plays upon that. I think the way that Haunt came together, we really sort of liked the formula of that song. I mean, it's a fairly short song, sticks to the verse chorus thing, but sonically it's got the shoegazy sort of dreamy sequences along with like a big heavy chunk to it.
Clover was the lead single for Codeine and was the first track I heard from you guys. What stood out to you about this one to have it as the first single from the release?
Church Road picked that as the lead single. I think we all agreed with them. Patrick wrote Clover. That was one of the songs he had basically pre-written, but it was about twice as fast. And when we were practicing it in our rehearsal space, without him.
No, he was there.
Oh, he was there. Okay.
And he was teaching Simon how to play the bass part for it. And I think while Simon was learning it, like they'd slowed it down to about half the speed. And I started playing a drum track along to the bass part. And we were like, oh, that sounds really good. And that was what stuck. And I think Patrick's still a bit salty about it, but yeah. He's slowly getting over it.
Yeah, he was. I think he was offended at the time that we completely torpedoed his own song. But
we wanted to have like another fast song in the set, but totally torpedoed it. Yeah.
think Dwell was one of the first ones we wrote of this batch. It has sort of, it's got a bit of a hangover from the first EP, I think, in terms of the pretty straightforward rockiness of it, and especially in the chorus. A few things that we did use in Dwell was like a few more, Patrick used a few more digital sort of reverb effects. Yeah, it's not one that finds itself in the live set frequently, but I think it is definitely the link song between the two releases.
Final track on the record, Violence, where does this fit and what motivated you to have it as the closing piece?
That was the only other option we had for the opener. So it has a long sort of reversed intro to it. It's about 5.5 minutes long, Violence, I think. So it was, if it wasn't going to be the first track, it was definitely going to be the last one. It's probably the heaviest song. It's got some of the most delicate parts of the record, but also the heaviest parts of the record on it. I think it's Simon's favorite song on the record, and you can see why he likes it. It does have this pretty epic feel to it, and we found it was a strong finisher. And also the original plan for that song to finish out with the guy that mixed it, Jack Shirley, we wanted him to like distort and sort of break up the end, like sort of in a fade out sense. But then he mentioned that it was not going to work if it was pressed to vinyl, like the needle would literally skip out of the grooves with that kind of effect put on it.
Yeah, he did do it, and we have a digital copy of that, but that was kind of it wasn't going anywhere. So that's more for us and how we wanted the record.